Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
Today we are talking about email marketing, and along with Jen and I, we have our good friend and coworker, Amy Corona, our email marketing strategist, guru, genius, queen.
Extraordinaire.
Keep going.
All of the positive things, that's Amy in email marketing. So welcome, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Just to kick things off, let's kind of talk about some of our favorite maybe emails that we subscribe to or that you've seen that you really like for any number of reasons. Design, content, you're just a loyal person.
So what do you subscribe to?
The Skim.
The Skim, yep, that's a good one.
The Skim's a daily news email that comes in and gives a really funny tongue-in-cheek type of description of real-world things going on. And then they link you to the news articles where you actually read serious news stuff. I usually don't do that. I just read what they
write. I just read the Skim. Yeah. I just skim the headlines.
I skim the Skim. And so, yep, that one's a daily for me. What about you guys?
I subscribe to BookRiot.com, which sends me daily or weekly emails about books that have pub dates or reviews or like 5 books you need to read if you're traveling or 5 books you need to read for, you know, not best in nonfiction of the month. So, And then there's always like author interviews or sometimes there's always a value add at the end. So they're giving away a book or they're giving 10% off an ebook or they have a podcast and they have all these awesome social media channels. So there's always like links and highlights from that. So that's like nice. My portal into the book world that I,
how often do you get it?
Well, sometimes I was just looking on my phone. I get them daily, which seems like a lot, but they're not always exactly the same content. So Some of them are book roundups. Some of them are author interviews. Some of them are ebook deals. Mm-hmm. So I get them daily, but they're never the same. So it keeps it interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
What about you, Amy?
One that I've subscribed to recently is called The Hustle, and it's kind of similar to The Skim in that it's like a digest, but it talks about news that's going on in like the tech world and the business world, and it's super funny. They have hilarious subject lines and just...
Oh, that's a good point.
It's really... It has a lot of personality. It's a fun one to read.
The Hustle. I'm going to write that down.
Just taking a note really quickly.
They had a subject line recently that was, what was it? It was from Home Alone, how the uncle says, look what you did, you little jerk. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Subject line goals, for real.
That's the really Skim funny. Does that too. But we were talking about this before when planning for clients. Like if you're like a daily publication that people have subscribed to and they know they're looking for it.
Right.
You can be more creative and fun with subject lines.
Exactly.
More so than maybe like if you're a business doing a nurture campaign or something like that, right?
Right. Your subject line relates a lot to what should be in the content. And if your content is the same layout every day or every week, then people know, okay, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be a roundup of articles that are about, you know, things that are going on in the news or whatever. And then people know that. And then your subject line, you kind of have a little more freedom to do whatever you want. But if you're a business and you're sending out emails about, you know, new product features and stuff like that, and it varies from week to week or month to month, then people kind of want to know up front what the topic of the email is going to be based on the subject line. Yeah. They don't want to be misled. They don't want it to be not clear, or that's kind of a whole trustworthiness thing that you don't want to mess up.
Yeah. And with that, is there kind of like this magic number of words that you want to stay under for a subject line?
You can find a lot of different character lengths that people will tell you, but especially with people reading more and more emails on mobile, the shorter the better.
Right.
For sure. I know with our subject lines, we like to keep them under 50 characters.
Yeah.
Sometimes that gets tricky, but utilizing pre-header text is also a good way to get more into that preview that shows up in your actual inbox. So
tell people what the pre-header text is.
Yeah, if you don't know, the pre-header text, there's a lot of ways you can implement it into your emails, but it can be hidden, or sometimes you'll see it in the actual email once you open it at the top in really small text. But if you use that, that will show up as a preview under the subject line in most email clients.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a subheader in some ways that right, you can yeah. use to put more information in.
Yep. So we really like to utilize those as much as we can and kind of give that an extra little piece that will intrigue people
yeah.
to open.
Cool. Speaking of the length, we talked about length of this email subject lines, but another thing that I've been reading about is just as more and more people are reading their email on their mobile device, that we should also be looking at shortening the length of our emails altogether. Whereas before, it seemed like you could put paragraphs and paragraphs mm-hmm. in your emails. And depending on your industry, that may still be okay. But would you agree that shortening down and getting straight to the point with emails is important?
In general, I would agree with that. Like you said, it does depend a lot on the industry. But in general, people like to see something quick. They want to know exactly what you want them to do in the email. So having a clear call to action, and then whatever action that is, you know, that can lead them to your website where they can read more, or, you know, wherever else you want to take them.
Right.
So as far as keeping actual email length short, I think that, yeah, that's yeah. a good rule of thumb.
Because everyone gets a lot of emails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read something the other day that's like, even lengthier newsletters, people spend like a maximum of 50 seconds browsing it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, wow.
Yeah.
Another thing we'd like to talk about is the design of the email. One thing when building emails for clients, we hear a lot, like, they want it to be like super pretty mm-hmm. and visually appealing. And they'll give you all these examples of like Target and, you know, FitFabFun and like yep. these really big name branded people who they can do that. And what clients don't realize is that if you're not one of those really recognizable brands, like, you could get spammed for having too many images or visual elements. Is that
right? Accurate? Yeah. In the world of email design, having a good text to image ratio is really important, especially if you're not a huge brand like Target
right.
or whoever, because that can cause a lot of deliverability issues, you know, loading time. Sometimes people don't even have their images turned on. So yeah, as far as design goes, that's really important. And then also right. I've seen a lot of Target emails. And one thing that it seems to me that they try to do is like recreate their website inside of their email.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just not a good practice. I mean, you have your website for a reason. Have people click through to your website mm-hmm. and do all of that. So
yeah. Target overwhelms
we me. Still like you, Target.
Yeah. Oh, I love you, Target.
Don't get mad at us. I mean, our husbands hate you, but we love you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on design? Like, personally, are you seeing some trends in design? I think I know what you're going to say, because we've been recently changing the design of our SJC emails. That's very like simple. We have our logo at the top, sleek white,
yep.
mostly just text, and then a call to action button.
Yeah. From a personal standpoint, I love that. Like, a lot of white space, simple look, not super heavy on images. I've seen a lot of email marketing people talking about switching to completely plain text emails. So instead of having any HTML, so that like no images, literally just words.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been experimenting with that just because, one, it helps with deliverability, and two, it seems a lot more personal. I mean, people have come to equate HTML emails with brands and
right.
commercial emails. So
yeah,
that's definitely something that I've seen a lot of people experimenting with, and especially brands that have like a head person as their kind of public face, like Smart mm-hmm. Passive Income has Pat Flynn, who's, you know, people equate the brand immediately with him.
Right.
So the emails come from him. They look like he personally sat and exactly. typed out an email yeah. to you.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's definitely a trend that's
yeah.
up taking and coming. Shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will dive into more email marketing.
Do you want marketing wisdom from Team SJC? Sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, Above the Fold, a monthly roundup of the best and brightest marketing insights delivered straight to your inbox. Sign up for Above the Fold at SusanJCampbell.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Unfiltered. We're here with Amy and we're talking about email marketing. And we forgot to ask her at the beginning what her favorite emoji is. So we asked Brian, our web guy, last time, and he said it was the flame because he likes to drop fireballs of wisdom or something funny like that. And so we're going to make that a little tradition and we're going to ask people when they come on as our guests what your favorite emoji is and or most used, because sometimes those can be different. So go ahead, Amy, enlighten us with your emojiness.
Well, my most used is the kissy face, but that's kind of lame. So
no,
my actual...
I bet your husband doesn't think it's lame.
Because she's kind of a newlywed, so gag.
Lots of kissy face.
I know, lame.
So... Just give it a year and it will be the eye roll. Just laying it out there.
Absolutely. So my favorite is probably the laughing face. Yeah. I mean, that's a good
I
one.
I way overuse that.
Me too.
I use the eye roll a lot too, and I really like the nerdy guy.
I do.
He
use
looks the like glasses. He's my
yes. Yeah. I do have in my most used this week the sick face and the sleepy face.
Just sick face.
Little mask.
Mm. We've had a lot of that going around.
Right. But my husband and I have discovered Bitmojis. Oh, and so, our conversations have, that's all they consist of is these Bitmojis. And usually it's like one of us holding up the coffee mug that says, I hate myself. So that's like usually by like Wednesday when you're really
I like
tired.
The sign that's just like, no.
Yes.
No.
And then if he ever asks me like what I'm doing, if we're at home and I'm upstairs and he's downstairs, I send him the one with the cat. She's got the cats all over her. And she's like, me time. So I use that one a lot. And he's kind of bald, but not really bald. Aww. Like super cute, like intellectual bald. If that's a thing. And so the only two options he had for the Bitmoji is really, really old man bald.
Oh, no.
Or like sort of bald, but with like this little mohawk.
Oh my god.
His Bitmoji. And then he chose a sweater, like a pullover sweater. He looks like a, I don't even know,
I'm sure
like
he's
a professor
loving this right now that the whole world knows.
I love your Bitmoji.
Aww.
Dear.
Okay, well, getting us back to email marketing. During our break, we were having all this great discussion. Then we were like, wait, we should actually talk about this on our podcast. So, Jen, you had some good thoughts, some things you've been hearing that you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I wanted to get Amy's opinion on something. I feel like as an account manager, we get lots of questions from clients about, you know, what messages go where and what happens if how do you keep email marketing topics relevant? And do you ever worry about oversaturating people? So like if a brand is saying follow us on all of these social media platforms, but also sign up for our emails. Do people ever get overwhelmed and how do you keep those emails relevant and interesting if they're already getting messages from all these other platforms?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say email has the potential to be really personalized and you can kind of walk people through a journey. So maybe you're not asking them in every email to follow you on social, but, you know, we see them going through this journey where we have them sign up for our newsletter. Then in the next email, we ask them to follow us on social. Then in the next email, we ask them to interact with us in whatever other way, comment on our Instagram post or whatever. But I do think it's not bad to have your messages relate to each other.
Right.
You know, you want that branding to be there.
Yeah.
Messaging to be consistent, but adding personalization touches is good. And if you've seen that people, if you're tracking someone through your marketing automation, you know, system, and you see that they have, you know, gone on your Facebook page, liked you, whatever, you can know that. You can say, okay, well, we don't need to ask these people to do this again
right.
or whatever. Yeah.
So it's just kind of creating an experience and making sure that you're taking advantage of all the data you're getting back from them.
Right.
You know, on how they're interacting. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. And speaking of marketing automation, I think that's, I mean, we could have a whole separate podcast on that. Mm-hmm. But just touching on that quickly, because really for us, it's almost one and the same. I mean, we have a marketing automation platform that we send our emails out through.
Right.
So maybe just talk a little bit about what marketing automation is. possibilities are almost endless for what you can do with mm-hmm. it.
We do use a marketing automation system to send triggered emails, but also send out, you know, like our newsletters and stuff that we're planning the month before. But I think more and more customers are coming to expect triggered emails. I mean, how many of us, right after we purchase something online, we're like, where's my confirmation email?
Exactly.
And then just stuff like when people are signing up for your newsletter list, are they getting a confirmation email? Are they getting a welcome email that tells them about the kinds of content that you're going to deliver them? If they're opting in for resources on your mm-hmm. website, are they being delivered to them, you know, in a timely manner? Stuff like that.
So there's a lot of planning that goes on with our team, like if we're doing this for a client that we're setting up. So exactly right. What you said, we're creating workflows for each scenario. So yes, if someone signs up to receive your newsletter, then what's happening there? If someone left their shopping cart mm-hmm. and, you know, abandoned their Target items, you know, what is Target sending them? Something is like, hey, I noticed you haven't finished.
Old Navy. Yeah. Yes. Thousands of
I'll come back and buy that sweater that I already have three other colors in.
Yeah, you forgot the sweater. And oh, yeah, here's a scarf.
Yeah, that would look great with that sweater.
Tricky little suckers.
So there's a lot of like behind the scenes plan. Like that stuff doesn't just like appear. You have to plan all of those workflows out. And so.
Right. And I would also say that one event or if people are doing one certain thing on their website, it doesn't just have to be one triggered email. A lot of times you can plan out a series of automation emails that will come to that person, whether it's every day or whatever. A lot of times, like what we're working on is having people opt in for white papers or whatever resource, and then we'll send them content periodically that's related to that. Like, oh, we saw that you downloaded this resource that's about content marketing. Let's send them something once a week for the next 4 weeks about content marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then from that, we can even see, okay, how much are they engaging there? Do we annoy the crap out of them, or are they wanting even more? And then maybe we send them a blog, or maybe we call them and are like, hey, do you need content marketing?
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I think it's important to remember that some people just hear, oh, we need to have emails going out. Well, it's like you said, it's way more work than that. Like you have to have a plan. There's a strategy. Mm-hmm. And another thing to keep in mind is what value are you giving that person? So you're asking for their personal information, their contact, their email, and that's a huge deal. Like people are really giving you their confidence if they're giving you that information.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you repaying them? How are you giving them value back? So there's got to be a give and take, or there's got to be value add. So when you do email, it's almost like that second step where you've got a solid social media presence, you've got a blog or newspapers or white papers. So you can't just throw a line out there with bait and not have anything. So that's important to remember.
Yeah,
absolutely. If I had one tip that I would give to email marketers, it would be to provide value, because mm-hmm. They say that an email address is like the number one sought after piece of information that marketers want, because obviously they can get right into your inbox. They can send stuff to you. And mm-hmm. that's something that most of us check every single day. So,
and you can always unsubscribe. But if you're like me, there are probably 7 emails that I get on a daily basis. And half the time I don't open them. I just delete them. But I don't unsubscribe because I'm like, there might be that one thing that, like the one subject line that pulls me in because I'm looking for this particular product mm-hmm. that they offer, or this a special on that product.
So, yeah. Yep.
Any other tips that you would like to give? I mean, we kind of touched on triggered emails a little bit. But how much is too much in the world of email marketing? And then, I don't know, some of your other favorite email tips.
The first thing that you touched on, were you talking about frequency? Like how often? Yes.
Is there not even a magic number now because of all the things we just talked about? Depends on if they're in some sort of nurture track or
right.
email campaign.
I would say test it on your own subscriber list. Test it on your different segments. Obviously, the people who are engaging with your emails are going to want to hear from you more often.
Yeah.
The people that aren't, you know, back off, don't send them stuff as much.
And check out your data. Like, you can actually track what they click on.
Oh, yeah.
What website page they land on and how long they spend on that. So paying attention to that data is how you get that personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I hate to cut us short, and I think we're going to have like a second segment on email marketing because this has been really good and there's a lot more to talk about. So tune in next time. We've got lots of fun marketing tips planned for you coming up, and stay unfiltered, people.
And if you want to stay up to date on what SJC is doing and how we handle our email marketing, go to SusanJCampbell.com and sign up for our newsletter, Above the Fold.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC or visit our website, sjc.marketing.